Well, welcome, gentlemen. Thank you guys for coming this morning. Before we get started with the questions, I do want to make sure that we give them the proper thanks that they deserve. These three gentlemen are really true pro-business, pro-free enterprise legislators who listen to you all and the needs of your community. Both Representative Dossett and Senator Richardson have 100% with the Kentucky Chamber. Representative Thomas and Senator Richardson both got our MVP awards. And Representative Thomas, I think this is your, how many do you have now?
Two bads.
And Kate Shanks, who's with me, is our Senior Vice President of Public Affairs, who leads our advocacy efforts. We always say, if you need a fighter in your corner, get Walker Thomas. He does not back down from a challenge. He is always there every step of the way with the Chambers of Commerce. And we just want to thank all three of you gentlemen for really fighting for Christian County and Hopkinsville and pro-business principles. So let's go ahead and start and talk about the budget. So I talked that it's a 60-day session. The budget kind of absorbs the kind of the air in the room. So Chairman Thomas, I'll start with you. What are some of your top budget priorities that you would like to see enacted this budget cycle?
Well, I tell you, a lot of us just had some calamities sort of as the senior meals got defunded recently. And so I'm going to really advocate for that. I mentioned yesterday at our PAD retreat that we need to watch after some of our seniors in the community. And some of them, as we deliver the meals to them, that might be the only touch or the only visit that they get. And it's important. I delivered some meals down in Trigg on Friday, and some of them will not be seen until Monday. And that's kind of scary. So that's just one of the issues. We do have a lot of requests this year. Our budget surplus fund is actually growing. It went from 45 days funded to closer to 60. So we do feel like there will be some extra funding out there for hopefully some of these one-time projects. And I've reached out to all the county judges in my community. I actually get three county judges, so a lot of times that's a lot of requests, but we do hope to still fund some of these projects in each community, and hopefully we'll have some money to do so.
That's great. Chairman Dossett, obviously agriculture is important to you. What are some of your budget priorities this next legislative session?
Well, this is going to make my 10th budget session that I've been a part of. January marks my 20th year serving in the General Assembly. If I'm lucky enough to be, reelected next November, I will be the fourth most senior member there within the General Assembly. I do, sometimes it really shocks me, and I have to pinch myself and remember where the years have gone, and I'm getting older, and I don't particularly like it. But looking at the budget, and I think when we look at this specifically here for Christian County, we are very fortunate that we have a chairman of appropriations and revenue, the individual that we have in Jason Petrie, who lives right next door in Todd County. Jason he's aggravating to me because I have to go and ask him for funding, and it's like pulling IT. But there is a purpose behind that. He is the best person I've seen that we could have in that position because he takes such, I think he really enjoys doing what he's doing, but he's the type of person who is a bulldog. He's tenacious in making sure that we watch where our spending goes. We're looking, not only when we're looking at appropriations, but we're also looking at making sure the revenue is coming in. And I'm very proud of the fact that we will see in January this income tax drop to 3.5%. That was one of the key issues when I first ran for office in 2006, was to eliminate the income tax here in Kentucky because of us bordering with Tennessee, which has a zero. I would love to see us get to zero here in Kentucky quicker than we are, but we have to do it smartly. We have to be very cautious. We do not have a sales tax on groceries as they have in Tennessee. These are the things that Chairman Petrie is being very cautious about. So yes, I would love to see the General Assembly look at lowering the income tax again here when we go into session. But if it takes us 10 years to get to zero, well, I want you to know it took 60 for us to ever budge off of even lowering that income tax. Looking at agriculture, and what I have requested in having conversations with Chairman Petrie there on the budget, we are looking at putting additional funding for economic development going into the Department of Agriculture, especially knowing the importance of agriculture to West Kentucky, to Christian County. And I cannot think of anyone having any better contacts than our Ag Commissioner, Jonathan Schell, and those individuals working in his office. We want to make sure that we do things that benefit West Kentucky, and I can think of nothing more than agriculture benefiting that. So those are the priorities that I'm going to be working on within the budget session of helping on that.
That's great. I think just to kind of touch again on the income tax, Chairman Dawson, you made a really great point that, you know, now we're going to be at 3.5%, but since that has been lowered, our sales tax has not had to be raised. We're still at 6%, where Tennessee has a higher sales tax rate. They also tax groceries, some medicine. Obviously, nonprofits, churches are not taxed here. So we've been able to really kind of keep some of those other taxes low while continuing to lower the income tax. So that's a great point. Okay, Senator Richardson, the newest face up on here on the stage, taking over for our friend Senator Whitney Westerfield that I saw in the back. Well, this will be your first budget year. So tell us a little bit kind of about the new kid on the block. How are you preparing for this budget year? I know in the Senate, I think every kind of budget request needs a senator attached to it. So do you have any kind of special projects that you'll be advocating for this next budget session?
So I'm looking forward to it. This last session, I found out where the bathrooms are,
Yep. And
I know where to park.
Yeah.
What's interesting about the General Assembly, in the Commonwealth as a whole, is we all come from very different backgrounds. And even right here in our own delegation in Christian County, between, you know, Walker, Myron, and myself, all have different backgrounds and influences. If you would have told me 3 or 4 years ago, one, that I'd be running for office, but two, that sort of healthcare would become a niche for me, I would have laughed you out of the room. My wife is the healthcare expert in our home. So to fast forward, yeah, healthcare is going to be a focus for me in the budget. It's the second biggest check that we write behind education, and that check is getting bigger and bigger every year. And with the expansion that Medicaid became in the Commonwealth, We have done our best. We've created a task force. There's a MOAB, a Medicaid Oversight Advisory Board, to sort of look into, are we spending the tax dollars where they need to be spent? Are people that are on these programs receiving the quality of care that they deserve? And is every dollar being stretched to meet every need? The answer is no to the last one. We're not stretching every dollar to meet every need. So how do we do that? And you know, President Stiver says this, Speaker Osborne says this, and you said it as well. The budget is the ultimate policy document. So what are we going to do in the budget to create healthcare policy that is sustainable and sort of roll back some of these Medicaid expenses? You know, behavioral health is becoming an important issue. It always has been, but because we finally have certain institutions that have started to figure it out and created treatment programs and community-based programs to really help these people, there's a long-term approach there. I think certain investments in those sectors can reduce overall healthcare costs down the road. It's going to improve your workforce. It's going to improve sort of your overall economy. So for me, focusing on healthy people is part of that big equation of workforce, economy participation, and happy people.
That's great. Well, you've done a fantastic job your first full session. He was awarded a Chamber MVP award, so really great representation here in Hopkinsville. So I mentioned earlier in my presentation for the Kentucky Chamber, and all three of you all know this, we've talked to all three of you all about it, for many years now is childcare. For us, it's really a workforce issue. We know that there is a substantial number of Kentuckians that we believe could re-enter the workforce or enter the workforce if there was quality, affordable, and available childcare. So I'll start with you, Chairman Thomas. What are your thoughts on child care? Is your caucus talking about that for this next session? What do you see that could maybe happen in that space?
Well, we definitely are talking about it. We realize that there's so many out there that would enter the workforce if we could get kids taken care of at younger ages. And right now the governor's touting pre-K for all, and that is going to be a huge financial task. I'm not sure we have the room in our schools to add that all those extra kids and stuff. So some of the daycares we're looking at trying to maybe help them. Yesterday, Senator Carroll mentioned a program that would be maybe performance-based. So let some of these child cares get funding to how prepared they get before kindergarten. And there might be some series of tests or so to do that. I love that idea. I'm anxious to see Senator Carroll's. I haven't read the bill yet, but I just love that concept. Many of our childcare facilities, most of their money is made with 3 and 4 year olds. So what would happen if we pull all those out and put them into the school system? It could really devastate childcare for ages infants on up to 2 and 3. So that is going to be something we're going to be looking at. For me, I'd be really surprised if the pre-K is pushed very much. I think it's going to be more so reforming and trying to get childcare taken care of with what we have.
That's a great explanation of it, I think. And from a chamber perspective, what we've been working on for the last couple of years is really a holistic approach of birth through 5 years old. So not just the pre-K, they're not kind of competitive issues by any means, but very different, I think, really looking at that birth through 5 years old and really making it a workforce issue. So great explanation. Thanks, Representative Dossett, do you want to comment on that?
I would like to add to that. When we heard the proposal of the pre-K, the all-day pre-K there coming from the governor's office, I was extremely disappointed that the work group he put together had no one from daycare. No daycare owners were involved in this. And as Walker mentioned, when you have a conversation with daycare owners and as a grandparent with a 5-year-old grandson, and I'm sure many of you either have children or grandchildren that are that age, we understand the importance of making sure there's child care there. But when you have that conversation with daycare owners, they lose money on infants 1 and 2 year olds. They break even and make a little profit on 3 and 4 year olds. If you pull those 4 year olds out, then you're going to devastate that existing daycare industry that's in place. I know from my serving as chair of the Tobacco Settlement Oversight Committee, we use tobacco settlement monies to help with low-income families be able to have daycare, but also so that funding from the master settlement, we use part of that funding to go toward the STARS program that are in our daycares. And as Walker mentioned, I think that's what we're going to see is a push that we get more education there into the daycares to help those 4-year-olds be ready to go into kindergarten as they go into the school system. Because as if we were to move them into the public school system, it's going to be a tremendous amount of cost to the state. And we're already looking at an increase, as Craig mentioned. Medicaid is going to bombard us on costs. It's coming. We also have an issue where our auditor, Allison Ball, found nearly $1 billion of duplicate payments coming through the cabinet on Medicaid. We're going to have to get our arms wrapped around this issue, because this is a major problem going on there within the administration, the governor's administration, and those cabinets. We cannot be wasting this amount of money. $1 billion it could have a potentially devastating impact. That could be the difference of us lowering the income taxes session. So, as I said, it's one of those things we are going to be working on. I've had conversations with Chairman Preacher. We are looking at some things to help our daycares, to provide for them, and help these families, because, as you said, to get this is another way for us to build our workforce.
That's great. Thank you. Hey, Senator, from the Senate's perspective, what conversations have you all had about child care?
We just had our Senate retreat in Bardstown last week, and so I'll just reiterate what Walker said. Pay very close attention to Senator Danny Carroll's bill. There's going to be a cost. We're going to have to spend some money on it, but I think the approach in using existing infrastructure, these private businesses, one, we're protecting businesses, people that have paid into the system, blood, sweat, and tears, and money. These are professionals that are already in the workforce in that sector. Talking about a teacher shortage as we have now, if we move that into the public schools, we already have a teacher shortage. We're not taking into account what happens at a Christmas break and summertime. We don't take into account shift workers and things like that. So these daycares are well positioned to do that. Danny Carroll's bill will support them and give them an influx of cash to continue to operate and expand. And I think that's the appropriate approach, because it's a long-term solution and not just a political idea.
That's great. Well, even though there's different ideas going around, I'm glad to hear it's a priority, and we'll be there every step of the way to kind of help how we can. So I do want to touch on one other big issue before I kind of give you guys the opportunity to say kind of a little bit about what you're working on. I mentioned housing. So housing is something that we have worked on for the last couple of years very closely with the League of Cities and the home builders, realtors, bankers. What are you all hearing from the House perspective on housing? There's been a task force that has now gone on for 2 years. Do you see kind of a big housing bill taking shape this next legislative session? Sharing a love seat, sharing a mic.
Thank you, Walker. There will be things that we'll be working on there in Frankfort to help with the issue, but I think we go back, and you mentioned it earlier, so much that deals with housing, there will be, it's mostly local issues. We have to look at the cost of infrastructure. That's one of the things that's hampering the development of homes. I know individuals I've had conversations with, friends of mine, who are either in the real estate business or building homes, they all say that when we're looking at the cost of infrastructure coming in, water, sewer, different things, getting those in there, that is probably our biggest hindrance that could help move us forward. But I'm sure there will be some things that we will discuss in the session.
And I would like to say, talking with some of our local leaders, our mayor's here, JR, I think he's floating around here somewhere, but some of the projects that y'all are doing in town, taking some of the property that's been blighted on the community for years and putting them back out in the market. These are lots that already have sewer, water, and electricity on them. If we can just tear down what's there and stop mowing it, it saves the city a lot of money. The liens are piling up. So I think if we can take and get rid of some of the regulatory, it doesn't need to be 5 years to suddenly get these into the pool so they can be rebuilt. So I think it would really help our community, something along that line. I'm proud of the work that you're doing and the council's doing, and I think that's something that hopefully we can help and get rid of some of the red tape that you can get them on the market even quicker. Also, someone mentioned to me, and Carter Hendricks, I know he's here, so I'll give him credit where it's due. He mentioned maybe some of these developers to actually let the state help pay for the infrastructure in the form of a loan. And then as the lots are sold, it would pay back that fund. So it wouldn't be one-time money, it would be kind of a revolving pool where groups could go ahead and develop a subdivision, borrow the money to get the expensive part done, and then later on pay it back as the lots sell. So these are some ideas I think that we will be looking at, but I think if we can cut some of the red tape, I think that will be one of the biggest issues.
We love that concept, and again, you guys are leading the way here in Christian County, but it really is dealing with the cost of infrastructure, so that's a great idea. Senator Richardson, what about from the Senate's perspective on housing?
We did talk about it quite a bit. Senator Robbie Mills was heading up that task force, the joint task force on the Senate side. We talked about it quite a bit, and we still are having talks. The theme that comes up time and time again is regulatory. Reduce the regulatory impact and create predictability. So we went through a chart at our retreat about that word predictability and what it means and the economic impact that predictability across any sector, any market can create. When you create predictability for a builder to know, and we've got a lot of builders. I got a lot of builders that are friends here in Christian County, but they build in other counties too. They do not have the luxury of predictability, whether it's code enforcement, surveys, just site ready, to be able to get a house built and on the market and sold to a buyer. They do not have the same predictability from one city, county to the next. And that's not necessarily an individual city and county problem. That's a Commonwealth problem for us to create, to deregulate and create the appropriate predictability across the marketplace for builders to be able to build and buyers to be able to buy. So I'm gonna say, this is gonna sound a little bit controversial. Mayors, when you get phone calls that your legislators are taking away your control, don't email me their template letter that they've asked you to email me. Call me first. I think there's a different perspective. Your interests may not be being looked out for. I do want to look out for your interests. I want to make your job easier so that you don't get nailed at election time that you didn't do this or that. Well, it's probably because you're being led by certain lobbyists the wrong way. Call me first. I think there's a different side of the story you need to hear, because you're going to be getting those emails this year, I assure you.
That's a great suggestion for anyone. When you hear things going through the General Assembly, come January, there's going to be lots of news stories. Call these three gentlemen up here. I know they have their phones open to all of you all, but make sure you're talking to your local legislators, because there's going to be a lot of different interests going on this next session. So I know we are running short on time, and I run a chamber myself, so I like to be very timely in these events. But I do want to end with kind of a question for each of you all that I'll start with you, Chairman Thomas. I want to give you the opportunity to share one priority for this next session that you believe would make the biggest impact here in Christian County.
You know, it's funny. We get our ideas from y'all. So Donnie Holland's here. I'm working with your grandson right now on a piece of legislation that will help military kids going through the college system. Dakota Young, the county judge down in Caldwell County, I'm working with him because he realized that some of these small boards are having a hard time getting audits each year. It's hard to find someone to do the audits, but their threshold for how often they have to do audits has increased just by inflation. They're not doing anything different, so that's something else. But a lot of the ideas that we have come from y'all. So when Ashley mentions, call us and let us know these things, you are our eyes on the ground, and that's what we need to hear from. So look forward to it. It's funny, Ashley, you mentioned that I was chairman of VMAP. I was up to last year. I'm not. I don't know if it's a reward or a punishment or what, but I am now chairing Public Pension Oversight Board and then a VR sub. So I'm up there a lot. I'm on seven committees now and chairing two. So, but try to make 500,000 people on public pensions happy. It's a little tough. So we have a six-hour meeting this coming Friday. So happy birthday to my wife on Thursday. She's going up with me, but she's going to be enduring a long session with me and a long meeting on Friday with the public pensions. A big task there. So these are some of the things that I'm going to be working on.
Nothing says happy birthday like pensions. So, Chairman Dawson, what about you? What is one thing that you think that you can help work through this next session that will really help Christian County?
Well, before I speak on that, I want to take a moment. What Walker just mentioned, serving as chair of the pension oversight, it's very important for everyone to understand and to know how important what he's doing is for the Commonwealth. In 2017, when we became the Republicans became, and I'm sorry to say something partisan, but I'm going to be honest. When I become a part of the majority party there in Frankfort, our pension system was in a disaster. We have fully funded that pension system since 2017 for our state workers, for our teachers, and have put additional funds in there, something that wasn't done prior. So that is something I'm very proud of. Walker is continuing that process, and that is important to our state employees, our teachers, but to each of you as taxpayers, because it was going to be a burden that could have devastated Kentucky. Also, want to take a moment to say thank you. We have elected officials here and representatives of those elected officials here. Mayor Knight, his city council members, I have conversations with them on a regular basis. Judge Gillen and his fiscal court. I see Jerry on a regular basis and his court members. So to have those conversations, that's important. For issues that are concerning you, get back to us. Robin, thank you so much for what you do there for Senator McConnell, Morgan as well. I speak to Morgan. I worry Morgan to death when I'm on issues. Austin Worthington from Congressman Comer's office. This is something, when we look at Congressman Comer and think of Jamie Comer, I've known him since I went into the House of Representatives 20 years ago. Jamie is a close friend of mine, and to know that someone in that position that he's in Washington, D.C., that I can contact, I could text him, call him right now, and more than likely I would get an answer or reply pretty quick. But Austin does such a great job, and for me to be able to contact him, it's so beneficial. And then these individuals that I serve with. Walker is a fantastic member serving in the House. I have enjoyed the time serving with him. Craig, who I miss Whitney Westerfield, and I saw him walk out the door, but I miss Whitney a lot, but I room with Craig there in Frankfort during the session. We will snuggle probably here in the chair. But it's so important, and then to mention Jason Petrie and his position. I'm fortunate. I'm blessed that I've got people that I can reach out to, because it allows me to do a good job and be a good representative to my constituents at home. So with that, thank you and thank all of you. Now, very briefly, my primary legislation that I'm going to be working on is Chair of Agriculture. And I've said, when it comes down to the nuts and bolts, it's the initial reason that I ran for office 20 years ago. It was something that had lit a fire underneath me, and it's eminent domain. Property owner rights. And that's the legislation that I'll be focused on there within the Agriculture Committee, making sure that citizens when a government entity uses condemnation or eminent domain, that property owner feels like they're being treated fairly, to make sure that they have a fair and honest appraisal on their property as they move forward, that if there are improvements on the property, they are taken care of. They are paid for what those improvements are. And in the future, after a project has been completed, if there's unforeseen consequences, stormwater damage, things like that that weren't caught, because I have found out that a lot of times some of the studies they use are dated 20 years back. So we want to make sure that the property owners are fairly treated. And I think in the end, it's going to save the state money and the property owners money, because things that would only come available if it got to a court process, we're going to move them to the front. So it's a fair discussion at the very beginning. And as I said, if it really got down to it, this was the reason I ran for office initially 20 years ago. And to think that I may have that opportunity of maybe not completely fixing, but making it better for the next individual that faces this type of issue, then I've accomplished what I needed to be in office for.
That's great. Senator Richardson, what do you think, coming into your first budget year, is the biggest thing that you could help advocate for that would make a difference here in Christian County?
Can I just say that if the media only picked up one thing today, that it was that Senator Richardson and Representative Dawson are going to snuggle during the session. I've had the opportunity to spend a lot of time with Senator McConnell, and I've learned a lot from his legacy and how he is continuing to lead. That's a man that has given his life to an institution in our U.S. Senate and could take off the gas a little bit. He's earned it, but he hasn't. And Fort Campbell was just awarded quite a bit of money to help our tower and hangars. So we've talked about Senator McConnell, Robin, $68 billion, something like that, over. $68 billion has come back into the Commonwealth, but if we actually took that number and what that investment is and see what the ROI is today, I have no hesitation to say that we're in the trillions or approaching it. So to me, that's a legacy. And I'm not in the state senate to create a legacy for myself, but I do think legacies for those that are in our community, they deserve that legacy. So bringing money home, to me, would be the most important thing I can do. We've talked about how difficult it's gonna be. Yes, we have a budget reserve, but that reserve is for a reserve, not to just be spent. And we are in the position we are in today because we have been conscious, wise, and methodical with the money. These are sacred funds, and they should be treated as such, and I think our General Assembly and our supermajority is doing that and doing the best that they can. But whatever I can bring home, to me, that will be my biggest win this year. As far as actual bills, I'm looking at some bills that will certainly make the news, but some things to lessen our legal liabilities across the state to even the playing field for businesses. Again, predictability for businesses, new businesses, existing businesses, large and small, across the board, to have predictability in the marketplace to compete and to not be afraid of lawyers coming in and wreaking havoc on what you've built as a family and as a company. Healthcare will be a huge focus, giving the hospitals a fighting chance in this new market to be able to buy drugs at a cheaper cost than the cheaper cost that other states are buying it at, and then just to be able to keep their doors open and compete.
Yeah, that's great. Well, before we kind of wrap up, I do want to just give the opportunity one more time. We've talked a lot about child care and housing, and I want to thank all three of these gentlemen for giving us such great insight into that. If you're interested in learning more from a Kentucky Chamber perspective, our website is Opportunity Starts Here. We'd love to get you guys involved. Obviously, Taylor and the Christian County Chamber do a fantastic job and are with us every step of the way. And like I said when I started off, you only get good policy if you have good legislators. And you all here in Christian County are really blessed to have three of the best who are with us every single step of the way and are thinking about you guys every day when they vote in Frankfort. So please help me give our panelists another round of applause.
Okay, great discussion and insight. Let's give our legislators and Ashley one more round of applause. Ashley, thank you for being here. We always appreciate you making the drive to be with us. All right, my name is Michael Kanzler, and I'm with Rogers Group, and I am the chair of the Governmental Affairs Committee. And just to give you a little insight, the mission for Christian County Governmental Affairs Committee is to advocate at the local, state, and federal levels for issues that will result in a prosperous, growing economy and better community for those who work, live, and visit here. So advocating for projects often takes years. We've been fortunate to see some results and some nice wins recently. So just to name a few, I-69 signage, we worked on for years on the Breathitt Parkway, and we finally got it up. The I-69 Kentucky 1682 ramps at exit 12 is finally under contract, so that I-169 project will be completed here in the next year. And we've made a lot of progress on the Kentucky 115 corridor projects over the years. We continue to advance that. A lot of advancements on the economic development front. So a lot of good things happening. Again, a lot of this stuff takes years, and it takes a lot of work, a lot of trips to Frankfort and Washington, D.C. On your table, I want to point out the legislative agenda. So I'll be brief here. Take a look at it. Take it home with you. But the 26 legislative agenda priorities is developed by the Governmental Affairs Committee. And we use member input from the legislative survey and priorities within the community vision plan. This agenda is used to communicate the chamber's position on issues at the local, state, and federal levels, and in order to promote public policy decisions and reflect the priorities of the chamber members. So in this agenda, a lot of the items that you heard discussed today, tax reform, getting Kentucky to zero, is going to continue to be a push. Education, workforce, child care, Fort Campbell and attracting military to Kentucky, housing, economic development, and last but not least, roads and infrastructure projects. So to wrap up, I want to thank our sponsors again. Thanks to the Silo. Appreciate you, Frank, for having us. Planners Bank for being our sponsor. ExxonMobil, welcome. And Pinaral Area Development District. With that, have a Merry Christmas, and thank you for being here.